I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
But you know, it isn't the sounds of mooing or of cock-a-doodle-doo that wakes this farmer up in the morning, but rather it's the high whine of a coffee grinder.
Really?
Yeah, my husband David, he roasts and grinds and brews his own coffee every day. And so that is a sound that has been part of our lives for a long, long time.
Really?
And he's pretty pretty particular about his Java. In fact, just a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to attend a seminar right here in Amory, Wisconsin, about how to brew a perfect cup of coffee.
There is a seminar for everything, isn't there?
We were so lucky. I mean, we made a beeline for that thing, and we were just thrilled with what we learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so happy in having made the acquaintance of this expert barista.
Wow.
Who actually conducted the seminar. His name is Sam Brown, and he is both a taster, a traveler, and a barista trainer for Stone Creek Coffee, which is based in Milwaukee and has about 10 or 11 cafes throughout the metro area. Okay. And we have him on the line this morning to tell us about Stone Creek Coffee and about how to get that better brew. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. And really awesome. continuing to benefit from the many secrets and tips that you shared with us at that seminar right here in Amory, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Awesome.
Something tells me, Sylvia, that my can of Folgers and my bun coffee maker isn't going to cut it today.
Well, I think we're going to learn what could make things perhaps better.
Ah.
All right. I don't know that there could be a really bad cup of coffee if you really love coffee, but
yep.
There certainly are different grades and levels.
Sure.
So Sam, you know, tell us a little bit about Stone Creek Coffee, because I think that helps us understand that the kind of fundamental values behind what it is that you do.
Oh yeah, so we're a local coffee roasting company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we try to seek out awesome coffee farms that produce great coffee and buy from them and support the farmers there. We go to great lengths to try to visit all the farms and see how things are happening on the farm, how they farm, what they do with their money, making sure it's all things that we, what's the word? All things that we want to be happening there. Investing in schools for the Pickers children so they can learn and while they're at work. Things like that is what we look for.
So it's really about how that coffee plantation is a part of their community?
Yeah. But first and foremost, we definitely we try to pick the best tasting coffees, and then we'll get samples of that, and then out of the ones that we really like, we'll go visit the farms and make sure that it's the coffee that we can get behind.
Ah, okay. So it's getting behind the farmer as well as getting behind the bean, huh?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, you know, when you're traveling the world, and Stone Creek Coffee sources its coffee beans from what parts of the world?
Oh, just about anywhere that grows coffee. As far as it would probably be like Sumatra and Africa, and Central and South America as well, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Colombia. So just about anywhere that grows coffee. It just has to be between the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn, which is known as the coffee belt, and that's the only place coffee can grow.
Ah, okay. Now, fortunately, when my husband Dave and I attended your hands-on workshop there, we saw some slides of your travels to South America. And it was so much fun to see that coffee beans, when they're ripe, can be different colors.
Yes, yes. There are many different varieties of coffee, whether it's orange bourbon, where there's the cherries even have like this orange, this dark orange color, where most of them have a red color, and when they're really ripe, the farmers call it bull's blood red, like for like a really deep burgundy color.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they can range from yellow as well to orange, like I said, and red. They all start out green, and we'll just change into that.
Wow. So, now, are these coffee beans grown in mostly, like, mountainous regions?
No, the better farms are at higher altitudes. Higher altitudes allow the plant to slowly mature and create the ripest fruit, therefore the sweetest. But, yeah, so there are some smaller farms at lower altitudes that don't produce as high quality of coffee. But for the most part, most, like, really high-end coffees come from higher altitude farms.
Okay. Now, I understand that there are two major families of coffee beans.
Yes.
What would those be, and what are their differences?
Well, there's Robusta, which is a hardy, thick, quantity over quality sort of a plant. So it can resist disease, and it produces a lot of coffee, but oftentimes does not taste as clean or as good as the other strain of the family there, which is Arabica.
Mm-hmm.
And we only buy Arabica beans because the flavors are just very clean and clear, where Robusta would be muddled and not appealing.
So what are the steps of getting that cup of coffee finally in your hand? It starts in the field, but what are the steps to get it finally into someone's coffee cup?
From seed. So coffee trees take about 3 to 5 years to mature. So even after you plant them, you need to wait at least 5 years to really be getting quality coffee out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be in their prime for a good 15 years after that. So once you have a hardy plant, you obviously need to pick the ripest cherries, which is, it's a hard task. I've tried it. It's not easy, especially if you want all ripe. You really have to know what that looks like, you know, and being on a farm every day, it should help. So once it's picked, most times it's going to go through what we call a washed process. And that just means they pulp the bean or the cherry from the off of the bean, and then they're going to put it in a fermentation tank for 12 to 20 hours, give or take, depending on the region. And that is going to remove any leftover like slimy mucilage, and then they'll put it on drying patios, and they'll rake it for a couple of days, and until it's dry, it has to reach a certain moisture level content is what they're looking for, which is typically around 12%. Once that's happened, it's time to take a sample, and they send it to importers or exporters or direct to like coffee roasters like Stone Creek. And we'll have a small roaster called a sample roaster. We'll sample roast the coffee, and then we'll taste it. And if we like what we taste, we will book it or buy it, and from there, once the whole harvest is done, it's loaded onto pallets, and then it has to be shipped by water because it's the most economical way to ship it. So it takes a good like month, 2 months after it's picked, even 3 months to even get to America, which then it has to go through customs, which sometimes can take a week or two, and then it would be loaded on a semi and shipped out to us.
Wow. You know, Sam, yeah. let's just go back a minute.
Because
one of the things that you said was that you called that coffee bean that was just picked a cherry.
Yeah.
Right. And I think maybe many of us don't realize that that coffee bean is actually a fleshy part over the bean itself. So that it is like a cherry. You know, the cherry has the flesh on it. And then you get to the pit. And when we're eating cherries, we throw the pit out. But with the coffee plant, it's the pit that you keep.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So when you talked about fermentation, were you actually talking about fermenting and getting rid of the fleshy part?
It's the, so after you remove the fleshy part, the bean is still going to be a little slimy, you know, like just like a cherry pit.
Ah.
You know, it's not dry. So they put it in some water in a tank for a couple of hours, depending on how they learned or who taught them how to wash coffee.
Yes.
And that will remove the leftover mucilage.
I have a question for you, Sam.
Yeah.
You had mentioned there were two types of coffee.
Correct.
So what we know as different tastes of coffee, are these different varieties within that type of bean?
Yeah.
Or is it also where they're grown and how they're roasted? And how does all that come together?
Coffee is very seasonal. It changes year to year. Like, you can have a really great coffee one year from a farm, and the next year it might not be as good, or it could be better. And that there's a lot of things that contribute to that taste other than the environment and what is going on at the farm. So the answer is, in Arabica, there are many different varieties under the Arabica strain. And so I'm just going to stick to Arabica and Robusta as of two basic, because there are too many to name, to be honest with you. But that contributes to it. The growing conditions definitely, and the way it's processed as well. So I was talking about removing that bean from the cherry. There are some farmers remove some of the cherry and leave some on and dry it. That's called a semi-wash process. There are other farmers who leave the entire cherry on and dry that and then remove the dry cherry from it. And so varying those methods will change the way the coffee definitely tastes. And then roast has some impact on how it tastes. I think it's roasting great coffee is more about finding the flavors that are most vivid in that coffee and making them appear as best as you can, or as sweet as you can.
So let me ask you, Sam. Some people think that a light roasted coffee may have less caffeine than a dark roasted coffee. What's the truth in there?
If there is a difference, you would be losing caffeine in a darker roast, and it would be a small enough amount that it probably really doesn't matter once you're drinking that coffee. And the reason I say it would be a darker roast is as you roast that bean and you take it to longer and longer in the roast and the development of the bean, you're eventually starting to burn sugars and other of bean fibers, which even could be caffeine. So you could be losing some that way. But it is, in my opinion, it wouldn't be enough for someone really to notice.
Got it. Okay, that's kind of good to know, because I think some people sort of are making their selections based on that idea. And, you know, it's good to bust a myth if you can find one.
Yeah.
So let me ask you.
Definitely.
So you've talked about how it's grown. You've talked about how it's processed. You get it over here after you've kind of tasted your sample cups and said, okay, this is a coffee we're going to buy. And so you buy it by the pallet. It gets to...
We buy it, and I can't tell a lot of numbers because I don't know them just offhand, but typically they're shipped in larger containers, and you buy them by the bag. Can vary, honestly, in size depending on origin. They're typically around, like, 50 green pounds. But when we say green pounds, we have to say that because you're going to lose weight once you start roasting.
Right. Okay, so these are green beans that you've gotten into the United States. Then you've just talked about how you take really good care on how you roast it in order to kind of get the best out of that particular bean.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're at that stage where most of us are familiar with coffee, because either we buy it by the whole bean roasted or we buy it ground. What's your advice? Should we be buying whole beans? Should we be buying ground?
You know, the thing that I would say most is, like, as long as you're enjoying coffee, that's the key. And I'm not going to try to tell you what's better or worse. I would say the preference is to, I mean, I would say that you should buy beans and grind it fresh if you want it to taste the best.
Got it. So that's the advantage that you get.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you start to grind something, let me throw this at you. If you start to grind something, if you start exposing it to more air, and that oxidizes your product.
Yeah, there are a lot of chemicals being released, and there's a lot of gases in that bean that once you start grinding are released, and your coffee won't smell as good when you brew it. It'll brew fresher when if you grind fresh, or it'll just smell better. The aroma will be better because there are more good things to be taken out of that bean.
And you know that the smell of fresh coffee is really a big part of the enjoyment, isn't it?
It is.
All right. So, okay, Sam. So here we've got it. I know that there are like loads of coffee listeners out there who are now going to hang on the next few minutes because I'm going to ask you, how can you get as good a cup of coffee as you can at home? What should you be looking for? What are some of the tips? What are some of the factors that you can control?
I would say whenever I'm teaching, even in like barista classes, it's consistency is the name of the game because that's what you're looking for. You want the best coffee every time.
Mm-hmm.
So having a good way to measure that, and I recommend weight, you know, like a kitchen scale in grams, because that can help you figure out what kind of how much water you want to use and to how much coffee you want to use in that. And then you can tweak it from there. But just making sure that you're consistent in what you're doing, even recording sometimes. So I would say weight is good.
So you're saying to weigh your coffee bean once it's ground?
Yeah, I weigh them before I grind it, and then I add it in.
Okay.
And then start brewing with it.
Okay.
And I would say grinding fresh is definitely a plus. And water temperature is good, but I don't want to get, you know, into too much detail. I would say, like, weight or a way to measure how much coffee you're using is the best way to get good coffee
okay.
at home.
And so what's the ratio of water to coffee?
Good question. So, I would say that a tablespoon is about 6 grams of coffee, give or take. And I just preface that because a lot of people just use a tablespoon,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. It's consistent. It will vary depending on the roast level of the bean, but I would say it's about 6 grams.
Okay.
But if you can measure it, weigh it, that would be a plus. And I would do, for every 1 gram of coffee, you're going to add 15 grams of water to it. And that works for like a Mr. Coffee or something. You can just weigh how much water you're adding every day and then divide that by 15. It's going to tell you how much coffee in grams you should use. And then that should help you. That'll get you a good ratio. And then from there, it's up to you to tweak how you like it. If you think it's not strong enough, you could maybe add a little bit more. But I would keep it consistent, know what you're adding, and then you can repeat it every time.
Got it. So how you know, you talked about 6 grams of coffee kind of being equal to a 1 tablespoon measure. What's
correct.
What's the equivalent as far as that 15 grams of water goes?
Oof, that's a tough question. I think 15 grams of water might be 15 milliliters, I want to say.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's right.
You know what we'll do? I think, Sam, on my website, I'm going to try to get some of these measures done in volume and weight and send them to you. You can check them out. And that way people can go there and start to see how these measurements kind of work together so that they can start to convert and feel comfortable with kind of looking at things so precisely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It helps to read it and have it in front of you.
Great. Okay, so you've got that ratio of water to coffee. What about the temperature of the water?
I recommend it should be around 200 to 205 at most. If you're brewing like a pour over kettle where you're adding the water yourself like manually, a good way to know what that temperature is get the water boiling,
mm-hmm.
remove it from the heat source, and the boil should subside.
Right.
And that should be right around 203, which is perfect for brewing.
Okay, so you don't want it to be bubbling. You don't want bubbling, boiling coffee on your water
you
on
don't
your
want
coffee.
Boiling hot? No, you do not.
Okay, so this makes me think. Okay, lots of people grew up with, and I was one of them. One of these percolators.
Oh yeah.
Which is boiling constantly. And I would suspect that maybe won't give you the best cup of coffee every time.
No, it's because what it's doing is just over extracting all those things from the coffee, even those bad bitter flavors.
Ah, okay.
Where the more precise cup of, if you use that ratio, will give you a cleaner, sweeter cup.
Okay, let me ask you this too: do sometimes those percolators or the boiled coffee does that increase the acidity? I know some people kind of suffer from acidity in coffee.
Yeah, sometimes it can be the bean. There are more acidic coffees than others. But oftentimes I think that's more of just like maybe like a percolator like brewing too much, and it's just so much in that it makes you not feel good, or gives you kind of indigestion, kind of acid reflux sort of thing. I just think it's improperly brewed coffee.
Ah.
Kind of my theory on that.
Okay. Okay, so we're looking at a good ratio of water to coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken a look at the temperature of the coffee. Now, temperature rather of the water. So now, do you just dump that water on all the coffee, or is there some secret, some tip?
If I'm making a pour over of coffee, you want to maintain a consistent, what we call bed depth. So once you get it up to a certain level, you try to maintain that and not allow the water all the way to drain through, but not also not overflowing it.
Okay, so how do you describe this? So here I am. I'm looking at my coffee carafe. I've got a filter paper in there. I've got my appropriate weight of coffee. And now I'm going to be pouring this recently boiled, but now a little bit cooled, water over it. Do you suggest then that I pour the water over it like slowly, and try to get it all wet first?
Oh yeah, so you do want to bloom it. That's what we call the bloom, where you just add a small amount of water, just getting everything wet, getting everything to ready to brew, and then you're gonna let that sit for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll continue to add some more water and bring up that bed level. And then you just want to maintain that through the brew.
Okay, so you don't want to flood your filter. You just want to keep it at a constant level of wet.
Yeah. So you want to kind of just taper off how much water you're adding and make sure it's like a slower pour, so you're not agitating the coffee as well.
Ah.
Because the more agitation, the more you will extract from that coffee, which can lead to a bitter cup or a grittier cup, we can say, or more muddled is a word I'd use.
Okay. Wow. All right, so we've got the bean. It's got to be a good bean. You have to have a good grind. Oh, by the way, the grind of the bean.
Uh-huh.
You know, many of us now have these little coffee grinders. Should it be very fine? Should it be medium, coarse? What do you suggest?
If you're just pouring over, it should be you know, kind of middle of the way, maybe slightly finer than that, because you still want the water to pass through that coffee. If it can't pass through, it's just going to sit in there and brew, and it's just going to get bitter.
Mm.
You're going to extract more of those undesirable flavors from the coffee. And a good way to gauge your grind is if you time how long it takes your brew or your cup of coffee to brew, it should be about anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. If it's going beyond, you know, like 4 minutes and 30 seconds into 5 minutes and a little bit longer, you want to make your grind a little coarser.
Mm.
You need that that water, that brew to pass through the coffee.
Okay.
And if it's ending in like 2 minutes, you need to make it a little finer because you want to extend that brew and retain some of that water longer.
You know, this is really useful information because I think lots of us have been to coffee shops on and off over the years, and sometimes we see the very fine grind that's used in the espresso machines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we want for that home.
No, not for
you,
like your homemaker. The reason we use a finer grind is because we're using a pressurized infusion, and it's the only way you can really like extract a desirable flavor is by using a really fine grind with that.
Yeah, because those coffee machines, the ones that create the espresso, they're operating at several atmospheres, aren't they?
Yeah, it's typically 9 to 10 atmospheres of pressure. It's probably going to hang around 9 atmospheres of pressure, just being forced through that puck of coffee.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you've really taken us through these steps here. Now, when it comes to drinking that cup of coffee, of course, everybody mm-hmm. drinks it as they choose. But one of the things I noticed on your website, on the Stone Creek Coffee website, is that you suggest that people sip slowly.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that is just to make sure you enjoy it, you know, take a moment for yourself. But also, coffee gets sweeter and tastes a little bit better after it's cooled a little bit. You can notice some of those more, like, nuanced flavors or more sweetness in it.
Wow. Wow. You know, Sam, it's really so interesting. You train coffee makers, baristas, for Stone Creek Coffee. You're also one of the cuppers. And maybe in the you can take 30 seconds and describe what it is that you do.
When I cup?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we cup, typically we're cupping samples of coffee from other farms. And we'll do that, and we'll each take our own notes on our coffee and score them accordingly to a score sheet we use. And from there, then we'll, after we score them, we won't talk about them right away. We'll talk about them after, so we're not influencing each other's opinions.
Mm.
But, so what we're doing is, steeping some coffee in a cup. We scrape off the grounds. We gauge the aroma, and then we taste with spoons where we slurp the coffee to aerate it, much like wine. When you drink wine, you want to cover your entire tongue so you taste everything.
Huh.
So,
and then
that's when we decide if we want a coffee or not. Is it good enough? Does it taste good? We want to know more about it.
Well, thank you, Sam. You know, you can learn more about what Sam Brown does and about Stone Creek Coffee by going to their website. It's a terrific website with videos and lots of really good information about where they get their coffee and your philanthropic efforts. You do a lot of contribution to your community because of the social responsible. You want to make a better life for the people that you work with. Sam, what is the website? Where would people go?
It is www.stonecreekcoffee.com.
Wow. Sam, thanks so much for being with us this morning. I'm sure that there were a lot of people out there with pen in hand taking notes in order to get to that perfect cup of coffee every time, every morning. Thanks an awful lot. I hope we'll get a chance to talk again soon.
Thanks, Sam. I look forward to it.
Okay, then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.